New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Broadcasting veteran Derek Pearson.
When you find something that moves them, that makes them smile, celebrate it. That's your task. That's your superpower.
Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman.
Rifles a pass. It was tipped. It's picked off by Foreman. He's at the 15. 10, 5. He'll score.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
5 o'clock hour. Jay Foreman, DP Austin Orman, Old School. We're brought to you by the Mercado. We are coming at you live from 1040 O Street. It's starting to get dark, like DP said, and Austin obviously said as well. Missouri Tigers were able to Iowa Hawkeyes. There's no better feeling than that. Is that Iowa lost the same way as a walk off, and they couldn't get a yard. Big bad Iowa, and you can't say that Caleb Johnson won there because Mouton is a pretty good young freshman. And they tried to do tush-push, and it didn't work out so well. And so they're going to have a little bit longer offseason. It's different. You know, look, you got to think Nebraska 7-6. They're 8-5. So Iowa's is their offseason is a little bit different. And you know, as we talk about this, and obviously we'll dive into the college football playoffs because now you're within 24 hours. You got some teams that hadn't been there before. They're doing a lot of wolfing. And we're going to talk about that. But DP, you know, as a coach, I want your perspective as whether you're Kurt Ferentz or Matt Rhule or any team like that. Mm-hmm. How much do you focus if I'm Iowa? Let's just take Iowa. Mm-hmm. And how you lost. More importantly, being realistic, right? Like you said, how you played against Nebraska. And then how you lost here. You got to think, yeah, you won one of them last two games, but it can't feel like you, like,
not the same.
Right? It's not the same versus if you play really, really well and then play really well and just end up losing one. How do you approach that offseason as far as attacking it? Because what you could always really rely on is your excellence of execution down the stretch, and it lets you down, and now you got a long, long time in a different landscape of college football, number one. Uh-huh. And number two, DP, even though you end up at 8-5, and you really – Iowa had a chance to be actually, give me, 10-3, right? They could have been 10-3.
They could have been in the place of Indiana. They could have been
– in the discussion. Right. And they controlled their own destiny. Now, let's also, in the back of your mind, Kurt Ferentz, is the new AD – her first job, right, correct me if I'm wrong, was to get rid of your son. And the offense hasn't been better. Now does the crosshairs, which was pretty much not on Kurt Ferentz, start to slowly but surely come at the big man.
Now it's on you. And the reality is, as a coach, if I'm coaching as me, it's a little bit different than me coaching as Kurt Ferentz. Ferentz doesn't care what anybody else.
Nor should he.
You've built a career on, as you said, foundationally having your own standard. You will adjust, but you do not want to evolve. And there's a difference in that. But the game is evolving.
Yeah.
The game rapidly is evolving, right? That the game is evolving, the players who play it and that you rely on is evolving. Now the question is, does the coach accept the fact that the players are evolving as well? And I'm not sure that Iowa is in a situation in the middle of the country where they really care how everybody else is evolving. I think their style of play is so paramount to their identity and who they are that we're not going to worry about it. We are who we are. That sort of arrogance ultimately catches up with you. The question is this the year that it catches up with you? I don't think they care because the checks are still good.
Yeah. And
the Czechs are still good.
And like, for Iowa. And for Iowa. They realistically, their fans aren't ever thinking about national title. They're thinking about trying to get to
a better bowl,
the best bowl game, and be in the realistic conversation of the college football playoffs.
Yeah, a better bowl.
And so that's where Kurt Ferentz has a lot of job security, Austin. But I also think this is the problem, I think, with when you get these new ADs, right? And I shouldn't say new ADs, but let's just say a younger AD that doesn't understand how Kurt Ferentz started at Iowa.
Right.
You got to think, he has built this program up from the depths of hell, right? I mean, to be honest with you, he has.
Yeah.
Through some lean years, he's had multiple chances to – I know for a fact he was up for the Jacksonville Jaguars job twice, two separate times. Now, I don't know if that was the agent saying that and getting paid. I know his name was in the paper. There was some smoke – there was some smoke there. So, but then sometimes, you know, when you don't have anybody that with that intimate knowledge or being involved in the Big Ten or have, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And you're there and you're like, oh, we're looking at Iowa. Then, oh, Nebraska's starting to come on the come up. Then you kind of look at Illinois and you start to look at Missouri. Like, he really, anybody can do what he's doing, right? Anybody.
But is that the part? I think that's you hitting it on the head, is that you're talking about a program. Nebraska fans are familiar with the when you start looking at your neighbor's fence, over their fence into their yard at the flowers and the lawnscaping. No, Iowa's brilliant is that they mind their own business. They are who they are.
And they, all had, the energy, they had been.
They had been.
They had been.
I'm not but
old,
sure.
But old buddy is gone. He was a college football playoff president or the on the committee.
Yeah,
he gone.
If you said to Iowa next year, I guess this is the real question. If you say, Jay Foreman, you are now the athletic director at Iowa, is 8-5 good enough next year? That's really the question.
I don't know. I think it depends on how it looks.
Right?
Like how it looks. Like if I sat down with Kurt Ferentz, and I like it. I'll say this before I say what I'm going to say, meeting him and talking to him. And I've heard, because I've trained a couple kids that played for him. I came away impressing on, the way he is, the happy-go-lucky, he's kind of like the Robert De Niro. He's got that little, he got that grin on him. If I was sitting, I say, all right, what's the goals? And I think you also have to be, for him, if I was talking to him, I'd be supremely respectful. Right? Because we're in a partnership. We're in a deal together. So what are we going to do, or what are we trying to do? Like, just say if it's offensively, defensively with Parker there, it's just they're going to do their thing. It don't matter. They're going to be great. So offensively, what are we going to do? And then once we have these goals, then you might look at it, depends on what it looks like from there. Because Iowa defensively and special teams is going to be on point. And realistically, offensive line is going to be on point. You just saw the running back. He's for real. So what are we going to do, maybe even say to accentuate that and grow on the outside in the quarterback position, and then kind of maybe look at it from there? But I can tell you, like, 8-9 wins, 8-10 wins, Iowa could win 10 games and look the same if they won 8. I'm telling you. They did like the New England Patriots. They just going to play and play and play, and then it's all,
Yeah, I don't – one, I'm not an Iowa fan. In any way, shape, or form. It just doesn't resonate with me. Style of play, type of player, all that. Right? Like, it just doesn't. But I'm still respectful enough to say that I understand what they do and how they do it.
And why they do it.
You're in the middle of the country. I mean, I know you're right next to Nebraska, but you're still in the middle of the country. And you're an island unto yourself in full. Like, they really don't care what Iowa State is doing until they play them. Otherwise,
yeah,
not really. You're the cousin across the street. Okay, fine. 8 wins this season. Today is the day that Iowa questions itself. There's no other time this season that Iowa went, this ain't good. It was today that they went, I don't like this.
Well, they did until the end. And the thing about Iowa. This is the credit, your point, DP. is they're so comfortable in like what they like to do and how they win. Like I said, they are static at 10. They're static at 8. This only resonate for about 48 hours. This won't boil over into the offseason because that's just who they are. They are comfortable showing up funky to a wedding reception, to a graduation party.
Yeah.
And they like, but I'm telling you, they're gonna come in there and drink all the beer.
That's they Iowa State fans. Iowa State's the crazy one.
And they're not upset. Like I can't imagine.
But I would think they look good though.
They do think that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, 8-5.
Yeah.
It is interesting to what DP's saying too about looking over the fence. I think depending on your perspective, it's to their credit or their detriment to whatever degree, because both. I think from the outside, you know, perspective at Nebraska, where we have national championship, I say we very loosely, Nebraska has won national championships and Iowa hasn't. It's easy for Nebraska fans to say, why aren't you aiming for a national championship? Why can't you think higher than that?
Why are you talking?
But if that's, again, Iowa will tell you that's what they want. They're in pursuit of it, but their actions will tell you otherwise. They're more concerned about winning the Big Ten, making their own lawn look good, not looking over the other neighbor's lawn. If they win the Big Ten, if they're in contention in the Big Ten, that probably means more to them in the Big Ten circle than any respect nationally does. I'm a Kansas City Royals fan where they have been so behind the ball with pitching and analytics and all this stuff. You see the Dodgers and the Tigers and the Guardians and the Rays pass the Royals because they're so backwards. Hasn't worked for the Royals, and that's where it's, you're a Luddite, you're behind, you're not adapting with the times. But to Kirk Ferentz's credit, they're still making bowl games. It seems to be enough for that fan base and for leadership. So are we supposed to judge Iowa by our standard or judge Iowa by the standard that they tell us they want to be judged by?
Look, I don't think they're judging themselves, quite frankly.
No. I think it's a catch-22 is a little bit of Kirk Ferentz is obviously doing a great job, and obviously he's created a ton of job security. I'd probably, if I had to question, how good do you really want to get when you don't actively recruit athletes and stuff to get there? It that wouldn't compromise who you are. And so, you know, look, they do a good job, man, and so forth and so on. But I want to before we get here to the next one, because we have got to dive into my man Leonard Hamilton. I'm reading more into this.
Uncle Leonard was
out. I want a full segment on that. But before that, DP, you always worry about teams that have never been there before. Mm-hmm. And when you got two things like this, and I'm just going to focus on Arizona State, because I think that's the game with the hugest spread, obviously, but then also different styles. And look, you got a blue blood in Texas and out of nowhere Arizona State team. Mm-hmm. They're all everything running back. You know, he doesn't shy away from telling you how confident he is in himself, and he's earned it, man. I mean, this dude is a heck of a player. Scataboo says this, he adds to it. He's just pretty much, he said point blank, nobody. I don't want to play anymore, but this would be an easy game to get ready. He said, nobody can stop me. Now I like the confidence, right?
Yeah.
But bro, listen.
We did this at Arizona State already.
Yeah.
Like you do know that Arizona State football has existed before you got there, Scataboo.
No, he don't.
Wait a minute, bro.
And there's nothing wrong with being confident. And you know what? And this is a catch-22. I remember we were playing, you know, Ricky Williams. And they were talking about how many times he scored. I mean, you want to be respectful. But then you're sitting there like, man, I ain't no punk. You know, and I'm sure what he's thinking. Like, they got good players. They got NFL players. They got guys that are good. They feel confident what they're doing. They probably watch Texas as Texas watch them. I don't really look down on it. But I know it's harder to control that when you don't really have you're not known for your passing attack versus defense is going to be honed in on you. And you definitely don't want that with an inspired, Texas team that's trying to win a national championship.
This was the one that when they played Kansas State this year, he averaged 3 yards a carry. 3 against Kansas State. you know, the defensive juggernauts, Kansas State, those folks, the purple and silver folks. And I mean, not the championship game Kansas State folks, this year's version of K-State. And he was 25 for 73. Now, I'm willing to bet and measure that the Texas defense is aware and saw the that Kansas State film. I'm willing to bet that. There's a way. And you have to remember, you are the accumulation of your best and worst performances. And I don't expect you to say that they can stop you. But I really wish that you wouldn't have to say that you don't think they can stop you.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing a lot of talking. I mean, I think you even look at their quarterback, which we saw not this year, but last year, up close and personal. Levitt, who's their quarterback, transferred in from Michigan State after, you know, the Mel Tucker debacle, played against Nebraska and started. First of all, he was a highly rated recruit, is a pretty decent prospect, or at least was last year, and obviously turned into a pretty good starter for them, beat out the likes of Jeff Sims, et cetera, former Husker anyways. He's up there taking shots at Quinn Ewers. He says, you know, he's like, it's time for him to get out here and show everybody proving why he's the better quarterback. See, that's where I think they're losing themselves right now.
Is that the Cignetti immaturity thing on display?
It's an immaturity because you're worried about what, like, Skedaboo and you're already good players, mm-hmm. right? You're already good players. Like, you are a good player. You already played 13 games already. Like, everybody knows you're good. So you ain't got to tell them. See, now you're up here talking about you're trying to prove how good you are versus Quinn Ewers. What Quinn Ewers does or what people think about him ain't got nothing to do with you. He's older than you.
And he's been under the microscope already, bro. Like you.
But I'm just saying, you just knew on the
ball. We just met you, Scatterbrook. Like, come on, we just met you.
And Scatterbrook talking about nobody stopped him. And that's great. I mean, because you want to have that confidence. But ultimately, you know, if your mindset is going in there to try to prove something to somebody else versus prove yourself and your teammates right, the focus is wrong.
Now, mind you, let's be clear. I'm rooting for him to run for 250 yards against Texas.
No problem.
Oh, like, let's be clear.
He can go 298.
Like, I'm perfectly good that he has such a day that he creates new dances in the end zone because he's worn out the old ones against Texas. Or like, I need a new dance from Scatterbug. Like, we're a dance called the Scatterbug.
Yeah. Or you can just in there, just, you know, he's a big old weightlifter. He can just flex his muscles, man. He's right. He's Mike Allstat 2.0.
Right.
I mean, I hope he does well. I just worry about.
Like, get him.
Things happen so fast for Arizona State. And we talked about this DP with Colorado and BYU during the crossover streak. Mm-hmm. And Colorado is obviously more seasoned, but having young players that have never been there, obviously them young guys didn't know what the heck they was getting into. And then they are dealing with the pain of regret and getting embarrassed. Whereas you got these guys hadn't been here. You got to think they went 3-9, right? They got new coaches came in, and then you bring a whole bunch of guys in, and then you start to get on a run. And yeah, you went out there and beat the brakes off of Iowa State. You know, or not beat the brakes on, but you won the Big 12, and then you got not only won the Big 12 championship, you get a bye in the college football playoffs. So now you're really been feeling yourself for the last two and a half weeks, and then you start getting, you know, now you're starting to get closer to the game. The excitement is there. You start to really believe in, you know, what you see in practice and all that stuff. And then, you know, you get that last little microphone put in your face, and like, do you think you? And to be honest, let's just be brutally honest. If you aren't saying in a roundabout way or thinking we're winning at all, you ain't got a chance to win.
Fair.
Because if you're stepping on the field on any competition and not thinking that you're the best, it ain't never gonna work. So I understand. Because if somebody comes up and asks, like before we played Florida or whatever, it's like, do you think you're gonna win? I might not say, yeah, I guarantee we're gonna win. I was like, I like what we're doing. I feel, you know, the matchup is good. We go out there and handle our business. I think we got good chances anybody to win, but so do they.
Can't wait.
You know? So, I mean,
it makes so much sense for him to feel that way. But don't put that on your teammates to have to explain and fight for you in a way that goes against the very intent of why you're there. This is a team to do your job.
Right.
Quietly do your job. Celebrate when you win. But don't make a mess of a situation that, one, Arizona State, this is their first time there. It can't be about you. It has to be about them.
It's like what we are going to do.
Yeah.
Because you already did enough. You got 1,500 yards, 1,600 yards rushing.
Yeah.
5th in the Heisman. Now I know they asked him. I think they got him cranked up because he didn't get invited to New York. Yes, you should have been upset because you there's nothing wrong with bringing 5 dudes there. He said he had to sit at, you know, watch it with his girlfriend, and you know he had 2,100, which, you know, look, man, I'm for him, you know, you could be upset, you know, and whatever, but ultimately that needs to be the motivation, because you know you can. Quiet is kept, keep it within yourself and be extremely motivated. And then after the game, that's when you pop off.
Yep.
You don't need to pop off before the game. That ain't going to do nothing.
Because everyone's going to love you when you pop off against Texas.
Literally, the country will cheer you in a heroic sense. Matter of fact, I think Aggie fans will be at the game carrying you off the field.
Aggie fans, Red Raider fans,
right?
Bears fans.
Like everybody hates
Sooner Texas. Fans, Cowpoke fans.
I mean, I think they're a team that's probably playing the card of we're overlooked. Texas is favored by 11, 12 points, which they are deeming disrespectful. And so, you know, look, they are looking at this as an ultimate competition. Now, if you say it and then you can play, you know, within the team scheme of things, you know, like I always say, you play individually, think collectively, then it all works itself out. But they got a big task in hand about this Texas defense. Now, I'm just telling you right now. Them Texas hard hit. They gonna come hitting for real. Scott, this is not Iowa State. I'm just telling you right now. The rate of speed and the velocity that you're gonna get hit, it ain't nothing you ain't never seen before, man. I'm just telling you. Like these dudes are gonna come to play. This is not the old Texas. This is definitely a different team. And then you gotta hope your defense is able to handle up, because just only get 12 carries because you ain't on the field.
Yeah, I'm gonna be his third biggest fan against Texas. I just wish he would allow it to happen organically. Just don't stir the pot.
Yeah.
Don't.
It's just interesting to see. I mean,
be cute, Cinderella. Don't run your mouth.
Well, I mean, I understand that Joe Namath made a lot of money.
But there ain't no looking back now, though.
No.
Because I'm his coach, I ain't going to be mad at you.
No. What'd you say? I put my new shoes in the mud. This is what it's going to be, what it's going to be now.
I'm going to be like that. Hey, like your, hey, speaking of BYU, I'll be like your boy Karl Malone. He said, I got a tool, too. Karl Malone said, I got a belt buckle, too. You know, let's go. Yeah, buckle up, Jack. Well, anyways, we're gonna buckle up. Take a quick break. Come back. We're gonna talk about the FSU college basketball fiasco and Miami as well. Their coach, who is a great coach, and end up stepping away 8 games into the season. But more importantly, Leonard Hamilton and the lawsuit, what it means in the present time, but then also possibility in the future, and does that change how you do NIL? Because like, if you come ask coach, I'm like, man, I don't know what you're talking about, because I don't want to be sued for something that I potentially could say just in passing. So anyways, Jay Foreman, DP, Austin Armour, we'll be right back.
Watch Old School Live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with DP and Jay on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.